Your contribution is appreciated. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston, KPFT.org worldwide.
Gentle beat is Clouds Below Your Knees by Texas native Ray Lynch, signaling that it's Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for So, What's Your Story? Hi, I'm Warren Holloman, and I work in the Faculty Development Program at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. But on Thursday nights, I team up with Hank Rubicek, Greg Aldell, and Jacob Reiner to bring you the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling. We're right here on listener-sponsored 90.1 KPFT Houston. Tonight, Jacob is here as always, working the boards. Hi, Jake. How you doing?
I am good. How are you doing tonight, Warren?
I'm great.
That was good.
Congratulations, I believe.
Thank you. It was about 14 years in the waiting.
So Jacob just graduated from college, and we're excited to see what the next chapter might bring.
Yes.
We're looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Well, Jacob and I do this show because we are believers. We believe that our civilization simply cannot survive without stories. We believe stories are the glue that holds families together, it holds friends together, it holds communities together. And without that glue, we become friendless, we become homeless, we become alone in the world, which is not a good place to be, especially if you're a child. Our storytelling guest tonight is an absolutely remarkable woman who has dedicated her life to providing homes and friends and family, and also stories with happy endings, for Houston's homeless children. Gaetan Powles, welcome to So, What's Your Story?
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Warren. It's really an honor to be here. My story is about trying to help children who are living on the streets of Houston and give them the tools to build a better life for themselves.
Great. Well, we're looking forward to hearing both your stories. I think you've got one about your grandfather also.
Yes.
So we're really looking forward to that. But just to sort of introduce you to our audience, tell us a bit about who you are, where you grew up, what you do for a living, that kind of thing.
I was born and raised in Belgium. And many, many years ago, I was offered to do an internship mm-hmm. for my degree in psychology.
Yes.
In Houston. And, of course, I came. Mm-hmm. And I immediately loved Houston. I fell in love with the people and their wonderful Southern hospitality. Mm-hmm. I ended up staying a bit longer than planned.
Yeah.
And three children later, I'm still here.
Well, we're glad. And in a little while, you're also going to tell us about the Pink Giraffe House, which is a special project you're working on. But could you give us a little teaser right now about what that's all about?
Yes, the Pink Giraffe House is a nonprofit organization that's dedicated to help homeless youth in Houston. I created the Pink Giraffe House because I want homeless children to have a dependable, safe place, you know, where homeless kids can find support and access to services and streets and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what their race, no matter what mm-hmm. their backgrounds are, sexual mm-hmm. identity. And a lot of people assume that homeless kids are runaways mm-hmm. who don't want to follow the rules at home, or juvenile delinquents who are in trouble. But these are good kids. They're on the streets because they had to remove themselves from their living situation in order to survive, Warren.
Mm-hmm. Right. And there, I understand there's maybe 650 such children here in Houston?
That's correct. According to a study that was done by the University of Houston and Texas Health Science Center, mm-hmm. there are approximately 650 kids sleeping on our streets today.
Oh. alone without their families.
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know you're going to tell us a story about one such child for your second story, but your first story is about a different perspective on homelessness and children, and it takes us back about 80 years.
Yes, exactly.
Could you tell us that story?
Yes, yes. Well, it's a story about my grandfather. My grandfather was really a wonderful person. And my grandparents, they had 12 children. And my mother was number six. And during World War II, because my grandfather believed in freedom, he joined the resistance, you know, during that war. Right. And one day in 1942, the Gestapo came to their neighbor's home. These people were Jewish people. And my grandfather, my bon papa, as we call him, saw the Gestapo men shoving and kicking these people into a car. And, they, you know, they drove away, you know, and as you know, those people are usually on the way to the concentration camps. But two children were left behind to fend for themselves. And my grandfather, you know, he was not going to let that happen, to have these kids, you know, just on the streets. So he took them in.
Right.
And he built a secret compartment in the family basement to hide them, you know, in case the Gestapo would come for them. And against his principles, he told his 12 children plus the two Jewish children to run around, maybe play tag and misbehave in case the Gestapo came back so they couldn't count them. And it would leave the little ones, you know, time to go and hide, you know, in the basement. And of course, the Gestapo came back and the well-trained 14 children behaved really badly as planned. And the Gestapo men asked everybody to stop running around and to line up. You know, they wanted to count the kids and to see if the Jewish kids were there. And they were pretty aggressive. But the children were running around the house like crazy, especially their younger ones. And I guess the fact that they were scared probably helped them run around and things like that. And my grandfather, he played dumb and pretended, you know, to try to calm them down, to line them up. But the kids did as they were told and just kept running around the house. Imagine 14 children running around in a big house. Well, it's not that big, but even when
in a small house.
Yeah. Even when the Gestapo men were yelling at them, trying to count them, the kids kept running around. So the Gestapo finally gave up, but told my grandfather they would be back and that the kids better behave next time. So my bon papa knew they would and that he probably couldn't pull this off, you know, a second time. So my grandparents and all 14 children, you know, they packed up and they moved to the unoccupied zone in the south of France. You know, France was divided and the north was occupied and the south was not. So, I'm sorry. Of course, I don't have the time to tell you the whole story about their trips, you know, all the way to France. But in France, he had a friend that was living on a farm in the country, and his friend was also hiding Jewish children. You know, many Jewish parents would send their kids in that area because, you know, they felt it was a lot safer. So they stayed with their friends until the Nazis moved into the south of France. And then they went underground, but they continued to hide children and transfer them to, I believe it was Switzerland, you know, when it was possible. And so he saved a lot of children. And, you know, he was really an awesome man. I have a lot of respect for him. You know, I ask myself, you know, would I be willing to stick my neck out for those neighbors, you know, for my neighbors?
Sure. Yeah.
It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, he was quite a hero.
Yes, I think so. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you, Gaetan, for sharing that story. This is Warren Holloman, and this is So What's Your Story on 90.1 FM KPFT Houston. The story you've just heard is from our guest, Gaetan Poels. Now, Gaetan, I understand you're going to bring us forward a couple of generations.
Yes.
And tell us another story about children.
Yes.
And in this one, you do something that reminds us of what your grandfather did.
Yes, absolutely. My husband and I were driving on the streets just a block north of Montrose, and we saw this kid, this young man, walking down the street, and I rolled down my window and I asked him, you know, if he needed something, because he really looked like he was homeless and he looked exhausted. Plus, it was freezing outside. I guess it was about, what, 2-3 months ago when it was very cold. And, you know, he said that he was looking for a place where he could sit down and there would be a little bit of sun so he could warm up. And so I said, well, Lanier Middle School is not very far, and they have like a park there in front of the school. So I said, I know you don't know me and you don't know him, but we'll be glad to take you there. So he was like, oh, thank you. Yes, I would love to. And he sat in the car and he was literally exhausted. And so I asked him, you know, when was the last time he had eaten? And I think it was probably 2 days ago. And so we gave him lunch, and one thing led to the other, and so we ended up asking him if he wanted to come and spend the night and take a hot shower maybe and a couple of warm dinners, until the weather would clear up and become warmer. So he was very, very thankful, but then after a minute he would say, okay, but what am I going to have to do in exchange for this? And we said nothing. And he was like, well, are you sure that I'm not going to have to do something for you? And we said, no, no, no. So he came to our house, and I was showing him where he could spend the night in my son's room, who wasn't there at the time. And he asked again, you know, because he looked around and he was like, oh, there's a TV here and I can watch TV and all these good things. And so he asked again, you know, what am I going to have to do for you? So, the next day I told him that I had noticed that he would step outside and smoke pot. And that's when he kind of broke down. And he told me his story, that he grew up with an alcoholic mother and two younger siblings. And that when his mother was drunk, she would either pass out or she would get pretty aggressive, you know, verbally and belittling and berating and yelling and screaming. And she began to do drugs, and she started to do a lot of drugs, sell drugs. And, you know, she was just mean. So she started to sell things, like the TV, the computers, you know, furniture to get drugs. And lots of people would come to the house to do drugs with her. You know, it's like the place became a crack house. And Alex would be the only one taking care of his brother and sister, preparing dinner, doing homework, dishes, take the garbage out, you know, all the things his mother was supposed to do. So the worst part for him was when his mom would let man have sex with his little sister. She was barely 12 years old, and he felt very guilty because he felt like he should have protected her, but he couldn't at the time. So one day he came home, and CPS had come and pick up his siblings, and that really crushed him because, you know, he wasn't even able to say goodbye or anything. And he hasn't seen them since. And this is when he told me he started to use pot. And there was a lot of pot in the house, so he liked it right away and started using and has never stopped using. You know, pot and music were his escape. He was a guitar player and loved to play the guitar, and said he was, you know, playing for his siblings when they were scared and had a lot of fear, and it kind of soothed him as well. But then one day he came home from school and his mother has sold his guitar. And that was it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, you know. And he walked away. So, of course, in the streets things were not much better, but he felt like he was just not going to go back to that situation. And we found Alex. He said when we found Alex, he told us that he had walked 2 years already. And, which I guess was why he was so exhausted when we saw him. But to make a long story short, Alex, we talked a little bit about his future and how, you know, smoking pot really interferes with his goals of what he wants to do with his life. And he accepted to go into treatment. And, you know, because I have worked in so many places doing with alcohol and drugs, I was able to find him a place. You know, we signed a lot of papers and it was kind of a hard to get him in, but we got him in. And he's in recovery right now. Oh. And we hope that one day when we have the house, you know, when he comes out of the treatment center, maybe he can come and stay at the house, or because it would be really bad if he had to go back to the streets.
Thank you for sharing that story. It's not a pleasant, it's kind of a painful story
yes.
to listen to, and I could sense even for you it was
yes,
it was difficult
hard, yeah.
to tell,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's important that we mm-hmm. hear. Is that a typical example of what it's like to be a homeless child?
Yes. I think Alex's story is very typical. You know, many children, I would say, I think the statistics say probably about 25%, they leave home due to a parent or parents with substance abuse mm-hmm. issues. And, mm-hmm. you know, substance abuse... Mm-hmm. Substance abuse issues come with, you know, anger and mm-hmm. neglect and all those things we don't really want to think about.
Right.
And then, you know, many children, they leave home where sexual abuse is the reason for their departure.
Right.
Very mm-hmm. sad. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the recurring themes of Alex's story was the suspicion that there was some hidden agenda on the part of you and your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Is that typical also?
Yes, I think it is typical. When you look at the statistics, 1 in 3 teens living on the streets will be lured into prostitution within 72 hours of leaving home.
Right.
You know, many have been forced to perform, you know, sexual acts against their will. And kids leave home because they, you know, they're into very abusive situations. And then on the streets, people take advantage of them again. Mm-hmm. You know, people want them to perform, like I said, you know, want them to do these horrible sexual acts, or, you know, they want them to steal something for them or mm-hmm. to buy drugs for them mm-hmm. or run the drugs for them because,
right.
you know. And so, yes, it's very typical for them to... Mm-hmm. To go through that.
And that's where the Pink Giraffe House idea comes in, to provide a safe harbor. Could you say a little more about the types of services you envision?
Yes, absolutely. Well, what we're envisioning is to provide some kind of a, you know, what we call a drop-in center.
Mm-hmm.
So drop-in center services, it's kind of where youth can drop in and they can shower, wash clothes, get a haircut, a nice warm meal, socialize, and connect with support, you know, trusting adults. And a place where kids can shop
mm-hmm.
for clothes, toiletries, you know, blankets, backpacks, books,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever they need. Bug spray, because, mm-hmm. you know, this is Houston. You need
yeah.
bug spray.
Sure.
We always ask people to donate bug spray.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want to provide them housing, case management, assistance with their education, you know, homework, GED, if that's what they want to do, tutoring,
mm-hmm.
college prep, and then, of course, job skills, you know, help them with their resumes and practice job
mm-hmm.
interviews and have clothes for them to go to these interviews.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as you can guess, mental health services, you know,
mm-hmm.
lots of counseling and group counseling
mm-hmm.
and domestic violence counseling and victim abuse counseling and, you know, anger management and all sorts of things. And, of course, alcohol and drug recovery and coaching.
Yeah. And I have to ask, Pink Giraffe House, the
yes.
symbolism?
Well... The giraffe is the lord, is the land animal with the largest heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we counselors and people who help these children, they have big hearts. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, it's the heart is a symbol for love and yeah. compassion and yeah. passion. And so I really like that animal. Also, we know we stick our necks out for the children.
Oh, that's great.
You know, just like my grandfather, he stuck out his neck for this family.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's right. And I understand you're under a bit of a time crunch.
Absolutely, because Her Royal Highness, Princess Astrid of Belgium, is coming to Houston in December of this year. And, you know, Princess Astrid of Belgium is like our Princess Di.
Uh-huh.
And she will visit the house if we have the house. Mm-hmm. You know, the problem is that we don't have enough money right now to buy the house. So we need, you know, we're looking for donors, people who are willing to donate for this house. And that's, you know, we're in a hurry to do that. We already found the house and we need the mouse. And of course, very important, all of our generous donators will become part of the greeting committee when the princess comes to Houston.
Cool. That's very cool. Yeah. And if people want to find out more or donate, how would they contact you?
Well, we have a website. Mm-hmm. It's called thepinkgiraffehouse.org.
Mm-hmm.
And there is more contact information there. There's a donate page. And,
excellent.
Yeah.
So thepinkgiraffehouse.org.
That's correct.
Excellent. Excellent. If you're just joining us, this is Warren Holloman, and this is So What's Your Story on 90.1 FM Houston. You can also hear us at 89.5 in Galveston and 90.3 in Livingston. I'm here in the studio with Jacob Reiner and our guest, Gaetan Poles, who has shared with us stories that, for the most part, have gone untold. Stories about children you may see every day, walking on the sidewalks and streets of Houston. But these children are children without homes, without families, without decent food and shelter, and all the things we take for granted. And we feel it's our mission to bring these stories and storytellers like Gaetan to Houston and to KPFT. Right, Jacob?
Yes, we are able to bring these stories because we're not corporate sponsored and we're not government sponsored. We're listener sponsored. So we always make a point to express our appreciation to our listeners who make this show possible. So this week, we want to send a big thank you to Jeannie Campbell, a returning member who just made a generous donation. Jeannie, it's because of you and your generosity that we were able to tell stories like the ones you've heard tonight. Jeannie also wrote a nice note saying that she and her family have great respect for Dr. Rubicek. Jeannie, you speak for all of us in appreciating what Dr. Hank has accomplished in bringing storytelling to Houston and KPFT.
And there's someone else who brings storytelling to Houston. Our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild. The Guild meets the fourth Tuesday evening each month. It's a great group of people who get together to share their stories in a relaxed and friendly atmosphere. Check them out on their website, www.houstonstorytellers.org.
And don't forget, there's The Moth. It's directed by Elizabeth Sosa Bailey, who was on our show last month. The Moth holds Story Slams the second Tuesday of each month. These are big-time events, packing the house at Warehouse Live. The next one is June 14th, and the theme is Fathers. You'll hear stories about good fathers, bad fathers, and every father in between.
And as for our show, next week Greg will be hosting. His guest will be Robin Young Ellis. She'll talk about a village she adopted in East Africa and also some work she does with returning veterans.
And then also, to keep up with our show, follow us on our Facebook page, where you can learn about upcoming guests, story trivia, and send us your suggestions. But make sure to like us before you leave.
And speaking of leaving, we're just about out of time, but we want to take our last few minutes to reflect on another important story, one we reflect on this time every year. As many of you know, Jacob is himself a veteran of the war in Afghanistan. And I've asked Jacob to take a minute to remind us of what Memorial Day is all about.
Thank you, Warren. There are three nationally recognized holidays for the military. Chronologically, they are first, Armed Forces Day, which is on the third Saturday of May, and this day is to celebrate active military personnel. Then we have Memorial Day, which is coming up. and it always falls on the last Monday in May. This day is to remember the many men and women that gave their lives to service for this country. Last, there's Veterans Day, which is the 11th day of November, and this is the day we celebrate those who have served. Now, it is important to state that my fellow veterans and I appreciate the support that we get from many civilians. But this Memorial Day, when you see a veteran or active service member, don't say Happy Memorial Day, because for us, it is a day of reflection. Instead, just say, I appreciate your service. But please enjoy your barbecues, picnics, and all of your fun activities you have planned, and enjoy your family. But also remember the ones that fell and their families on this solemn but fun day.
Thanks, Jacob. The Memorial Day story is an important one, and we do need to get it right. And thank you, Gay Ten, because you came into our studio and told us another story we often get wrong, and we need to get that right, too, the story of Houston's forgotten children and your vision for creating the Pink Giraffe House to give them homes and families and the love every child needs.
Well, thank you so much, Warren, for inviting me to be part of. So what's your story? Really enjoyed it.
It was delightful having you here, and I hope you'll come back and tell us about the Pink Giraffe House.
Absolutely.
How it's coming along.
If you invite me, I'm coming.
Okay, great. We're closing the show tonight with a song that tells the story of what Memorial Day is all about. Listen to the words, and you'll see what I mean. And then Scooter will be up next with the inner side to complete the back side of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. Keep loving a great story, and we'll keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. Till next week, Hank, Greg, Jacob, Gayton, and I, along with our friend, the Pink Giraffe House, remind you that it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
But all his friends who gave us all, who stood the ground and took the fall to help their fellow man. I love your country and live with pride. And don't forget those who died. America, can't you see? All gave some, and some gave all, and some stood through for the red, white, and blue, and some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some gave all. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Yes, recall. Some gave all. Some gave all.
Join Nature Discovery Center on Saturday, May 28th for a benefit concert at Esperson Gallery featuring Latin singer-songwriter Gina Chavez. Gina Chavez was Austin's 2015 Musician of the Year and swept the 2015 Austin Music Awards, winning the Album and Song of the Year and Best Latin Band Awards. Also included is access to an exclusive Texas exhibit by Smithsonian artist Jennifer Angus, currently featured at Esperson Gallery, Silver Wings and Golden Tails. To purchase tickets for this benefit event or to find out more information, please visit naturediscoverycenter.org. This is 90.1.
Hey, someone else's house.
What, Dr. Paul?
Depends on who's asking.
It's Jimmy Dore. Dr. Paul. Donald Trump made some pretty weird statements about the national debt, and I was wondering what your take on it was.
Oh, I thought what he said was, you know, marvelous.
Really? Because pretty much every single economist has said a lot of his assertions were crazy, if not dangerous.
If by crazy you mean crazy good, maybe.
Well, let's unpack this a little bit. First, he said maybe we don't pay off bonds completely, which everyone says would be cat